Good morning from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church in beautiful Silver Hill, Alabama, and welcome to our Sunday morning worship encouragement, God's Loving Kindness in the Morning. Let's begin with Martin Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me through the night from all harm and danger. I pray that you would keep me this day from all sin and evil, that in all my thoughts and words and deeds I may serve and please you. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all that is mine. Let your holy angels be with me, that the evil one may have no power over me. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. His throne is in heaven. The Lord is near to all who are of a humble and a contrite spirit. He hears the requests of the penitent and listens to their prayers. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to his throne of grace and confess our sins. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, I have sinned, and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Lutherans subscribe to the great confessions of faith of the early church. God has not changed, and our faith remains firm in the teachings of the Bible. That's why we often share what is called the Apostles' Creed in our weekly worship. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, let's pray together as we ready our hearts for today's Bible reading. Gracious Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to the earth and sharing your good news of salvation for mankind. Open your holy word to us this morning. Along with our Heavenly Father and your Holy Spirit, minister to our hearts and nurture us in your word. Amen. Sometimes we forget that God is in control of his creation. We may even lament that we are lost and cannot find God, but there are godly people around even when we don't see them. Don't think that times of lament are new. People have undergone despair in times past, and people will despair in the future. When we recognize that God is with us, that's the meaning of the word Emmanuel, the name for Jesus that we use many times in the Christmas season. When we recognize that God is with us, things in the world seem to fit together much better. What appears lost is not. Today's lesson concerns young Samuel. The Bible tells us that Samuel's mother was Hannah. Hannah was childless, and her family gave her much tribulation relating to her barrenness. She literally brought her problem to the Lord in the tabernacle of the time. It was in the days of Israel before there was a temple. She seeks God's help and promises that if she can just have a child, she will dedicate the child to God and his service. The Bible explains that God not only hears her prayer, but God blesses Hannah with her firstborn, little Samuel, and other children as well. When Samuel has been weaned, Hannah takes him to the tabernacle, and Samuel is taken into the Lord's service by the chief priest, Eli. Today's lesson occurs after Samuel has grown older, serving as a child in the tabernacle. On one level, Samuel has been chosen by God to become the chief judge of Israel, but Samuel has never really known God. So that's the background. Let's pick up the Bible story with 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 through 20. We read, "Then the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, 'Here I am.'" It sounds a bit like our times, doesn't it? We feel that the word of God is mighty rare today. Eli was an old man, his eyes losing the ability to see clearly. When God comes to Samuel, it is early evening. Before the light, the oil lamp has gone out in the sanctuary. There's Samuel just lying in bed when he hears God say, "Samuel." Well, let's pick up the narrative again. "So he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' And Eli said, 'I did not call. Lie down again.' And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, 'Samuel.' So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' He answered, 'I did not call, my son. Lie down again.'" Samuel was not expecting to hear from God. Eli was not expecting that Samuel would get a call from God. This little narrative tells us a lot about how we hear God. Many times God is calling to us and we hear, but we do not understand. So the story continues. "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. Then he rose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you did call me.' Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Samuel did not know God's voice. The man who should have been hearing God's voice knows how to recognize it, but he does not hear God. Interesting, isn't it? But Eli does share what is important for Samuel. Eli says, "When God talks to you, let God know you are willing to listen." How often in our day and age people are unwilling to listen to the word of God. But Samuel was willing to listen to God. Here's the narrative again. "Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever.'" Maybe this helps us understand why God was not speaking to Eli at this moment. You see, God had let Eli know that he and his family, his house, did not measure up. Moreover, the evil practiced by his family, the word is iniquity, which is the evil that resides in the heart of man, that evil permeated Eli's household. That whole household was locked into the way of behaving. Because Eli and his family did not repent, there was no sacrifice which could atone for their sin. You can imagine the impact of this revelation on little Samuel. The Bible picks up with, "So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision." you can see why. Very few of us want to confront others with their sin. Eli is not so dumb. He knows that God does not speak to him anymore. He seeks out Samuel to get the lowdown on God's talk with Samuel. Here's what the Bible says. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he, Samuel, answered, "Here I am." And he said, "What is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you." Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And Eli said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." Samuel never wanted to tell Eli the truth that God had revealed. It was not a nice truth. God will not tolerate sin. Yes, repentance is good, and we understand that atonement, the covering of sin by sacrifice, can make us acceptable to God, but there was no atonement possible for Eli and his family because there was no repentance. Did you get what Eli said? He says, "It is the Lord." Eli knew the truth. Not only that, Eli knew that there was no way to undo what God had ordained. Eli affirmed Samuel and Samuel's encounter with the Holy One of Israel, Jehovah God. The lesson ends with affirmation for Samuel. Eli was the first to recognize that God spoke to Samuel, that Samuel had God's words. The Bible narrative picks up, "So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground." And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. People recognized God's truth. Samuel said what he heard. He was listening to God. God calls sin, sin. God punishes unrepentant sin. That's the message. You got sin in your life? Guess what? God's forgiveness does not happen without repentance, seeking forgiveness. Here we are in a new year. Might it be time to admit that we are not the people that we desire to be and that we need the Savior Jesus to save us from our sins? As we end our time together, let us join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, please join us for worship this morning at 10 a.m. if you can. Zion Lutheran Church is a liturgical traditional Lutheran church located in Silver Hill on the corner of 4th Avenue and 7th Street. We are one block south of State Highway 104 and two blocks west of Highway 55. If you find the Silver Hill Library landmark, you are just a block away. Look for our signs. Want more information about our Lutheran Fellowship? Come to our website, www.lutheransinsilverhill.com, or give us a call at 945-5209. May God bless you in your spiritual walk this week, and don't forget to catch God's loving kindness in the morning next Sunday, same time and same place on your radio dial. These past days and weeks, Zion Lutheran Church of Silver Hill has been privileged to share God's holy word with you in the morning. As part of the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations, the fourth largest Lutheran denomination in the United States, we support daily Bible reading and prayer. If you do not have a Bible and would like a complimentary paperback copy of the New King James Version Bible, call us at 945-5209 and give us your name and address or phone number.